Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Stokely, yesterday, as it happened, the pass interference in the game. Everybody's talking about it. The entire city of New Orleans cannot believe there's headlines about it. The missed call. One day later, where are you at on it?
Awful. Got to make the call. Just bottom line. I mean, it cost the Saints. And it, look, it's right there on ESPN right now. Cost the Saints. I mean, look at this guy. I mean, he's not even looking for the ball. The ball's behind him, the Rams defender, as he – it's not even past him, as he levels the Saints guy. I mean, it's a good 3-4 yards – still behind him as he just runs through the Saints guy. I mean, it's not even close. And if you do call it, it's first and 10. I think the Rams might have two timeouts, one time. You're running the clock down to barely nothing and kicking a chip shot field goal, which the guy's probably, you know, it's probably 95% or more that you're going to win that football game. Maybe 99% you're going to win that football game if that's called. And so it cost them the ball game. Ultimately, that's what it did. It cost them a trip to the Super Bowl by missing a very obvious call. It's not like one of those, I could have seen it not being called.
It's not a bang-bang play.
Right. That was so obvious that it's like unimaginable that they didn't throw the flag on that play. It's just, it blows your mind. Like, what were they looking at? I mean, that was as blatant as it gets. And now the Saints did have opportunities to put that game away many times. But that doesn't take away the fact that that flag should have been thrown and they would have won that football game. They had the ball in overtime through an interception. So they had other opportunities that they didn't take advantage of, up 13-0, up 20-10, had chances to put the game away, just didn't do it. And if you leave it in the ref's hands, guess what? This is always my mentality. If you leave it in the ref's hands, guess what's going to happen?
They're going to screw you.
Exactly right.
They're going to get you.
They're going to screw you. That's what's going to happen. Don't leave it in their hands, but because ultimately, you know what? It's a coin flip on whether they're going to get it right or not, and most of the times, they're going to screw you. And that's what the Saints did. They left it in the ref's hands. And if you do that, you take a chance of that happening. You had chances to put it away. You didn't do it, and now you left it in the ref's hands, and they decided not to throw a flag.
And yeah, we keep seeing, that's what they say in UFC and boxing. Don't leave it in the hands of the judges.
There you go.
Because you don't know what they're seeing.
Right.
You don't know. That play, look, to me, I keep saying it, and it's John Davis filling in for Zach Bye. It looks like he didn't even try to follow the rules.
Well, he panicked. He was out of position, right? He was out of position, and he was trying to play catch up. And
that's
that's fake.
Yeah, okay. It's fake.
Wow.
The Todd Gurley referee. Yeah. There's a picture
online.
That's
a great picture.
It's a meme of Todd Gurley, because you see players exchange jerseys after games. They take the picture. Yeah. There's one of Todd Gurley and the referee holding each other's. And I believe Todd Gurley put that on his Instagram.
That's great.
I think Gurley rolled with it.
That is too funny.
Definitely. But it is.
Well, So here it is on that play. The guy panicked, the cornerback, right? He was out of position. He was playing catch up, and he didn't have anything else to do. He couldn't turn around and look for the ball, because if you turn around and look for the ball, you slow up. You don't know where it is, and it's probably a touchdown. Okay, so, you know, you're in panic mode, and all you're doing is running as fast as you can, and you're hoping that you arrive at the same time as the football, as a defender. And obviously, he arrived way too early. It wasn't even close, because he was just out of position. And so that's kind of why it looked the way that it did. It was like he was in catch-up mode. He was in panic mode. He was trying to arrive at the same time as the football did. And
that is he the luckiest person in the entire world right now?
I think that Tom Brady is, too.
Tom Brady is, too.
You know why Tom Brady is?
Lucky? I could think of a lot of reasons.
Well, I got D Ford.
Oh, D Ford.
So you throw an interception, that's a game-ender, and the guy lined up offsides. That's pretty lucky.
That's Tom Brady's
That's
whole
pretty
legacy.
Lucky. That's pretty lucky right there. Same thing with that guy. He's pretty lucky because Tom Brady threw a game-ending interception pretty much, and that guy would have been called for that pass interference, which would have ended that game.
It would have ended the game.
You know, you look at the D4 situation, and you look at that guy.
What about the other missed calls in the game? The miss face mask. Is this one bad because it was so egregious?
Yes.
So obvious?
That's right. You're going to miss other calls. That's obvious. It happens. And I've really liked how the playoffs have been called overall. I've been thrilled with it, actually. I mean, that's one thing I take away is, like, I'm getting used to every time you see a little contact down the field to see a flag being thrown. Mm-hmm. And they're not. For the most part, they're not, which is nice. It's nice watching this type of football where you're letting them play a little bit. Okay, and so that's been great. And the reason why this one stands out, like you said, because it was so egregious. I mean, it was so obvious. Like, anybody, if anybody could look at that play and say, that was a penalty. It wasn't even close. And there's the Brady interception.
There it is. And that, you know what would have been funny about that, too?
I mean, he's not even close to being onside, so he is offside. I mean, his hand's over the line. So, I mean, it was a good call. It wasn't close. To me, looking at that play, it doesn't even look like it was close.
And they've got to make that. And it's, you and I know it's ridiculous to think the league has a vested interest in who wins and who doesn't. But you do have people that hate the NFL, and you'll hear people say things like, you know, with the roughing the passer call in New England, well, they wanted the LA team to be in the Super Bowl. I literally hear people say it's rigged. Of course it's not rigged. That's ridiculous. But right. It doesn't help that you had one of the most entertaining championship weekends I've ever seen. And that's what everybody's talking about.
Right.
Is the officiating.
Yeah. You had two overtime games, one by the road teams. I mean, just unbelievable games. And the one missed call. And I thought overall it's been a well-reffed playoffs. But the one, like, really blatant missed call, you just can't miss those calls. I mean, that's just, like,
you can't do it.
Either or judgment calls, right? You're going to miss some. You're not, you know, whether a guy hits a quarterback in the face or barely grabs the face mask, then, you know what, those will get missed every now and then, or those will get called when people don't think they should get called. But a play like that, that is just so obvious to everybody, and you don't throw a flag, it's that's what stands out, unfortunately.
And everybody wants to know how to fix this. And I don't think review would have worked on that, because you can't review, even if you could challenge that, that's a non-call. And you and I have talked about it, but then you're challenging every play.
Right.
For pass interference.
Yeah, just, you know, it's a slippery slope. Like, what penalties are reviewable, which ones aren't? Does it all come from upstairs? It's just, do you give coaches more challenges now? So I prefer it not to be challengeable, because you can look at a lot of plays down the football field when refs throw flags that I say, man, that should not have been a flag. They're just kind of hand fighting a little bit, and it's, you know, they're both doing it. But you can look at it and say, oh, well, that was justified, because look at that defender. He's kind of grabbing the guy's arm. That's pass interference. It's like, no, not really. It shouldn't have been called. But they can look at plays like that and say and justify throwing pass interference flags on almost all of those plays.
Like, by the rules.
Right. There you go. That's the call. I just think it's a slippery slope to start reviewing penalties.
And you saw, and everybody's mad about the Tom Brady roughing the passer call that came in yesterday. The Chiefs, I mean, the hand barely, it barely hit Brady's helmet. But
what do you do? That's the rules, right?
That's the rule. You can't touch the moneymaker.
That's right. That's right. And if you touch their head, you leave it in the ref's hands. Okay. And sometimes they'll call it, sometimes they won't. And look, I mean, when the NFL will watch the game and review it, they'll say good call.
Yeah.
They'll tell that guy, good call. Good job. That's what they want called. And so it's some of them are ticky-tack, right, and frustrating. Those are the rules.
And like with the miss face mask with Jared Goff, I bet you there was Saints or Rams guys grabbing face masks the entire – that gets missed
right.
A lot, because that's quick. And guys usually – when you slow any play down – You can find whatever you want, but when you speed it, but like the Saints, the play in the Saints game, that's not a bang bang.
Right.
That's not like a
right.
Auto.
Yeah. I mean, it was really, really obvious.
So what do the games yesterday tell us about the Broncos? We get to that next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.
John Davis sitting in for Zach by Stoke. Yes, the Broncos haven't beat the Chiefs since week two, 2015. I don't know. That seems, that might as well be 20 years ago.
Long time.
But the, yeah, it's been a really long time.
It's been a while.
We still made the playoffs back when. Are you singing Stained?
Yes.
Is that the band?
Yeah.
It's been a while. That guy's a country singer now.
Is he really?
What was his name? I don't remember, but he's a huge country singer now. And it's a whole different dynamic. And so I'll find his name for you. But with the Broncos, we were back going to the playoffs last time we beat the Chiefs, but the Patriots did it twice this year. So obviously they have Tom Brady, but there's some other things they did yesterday that made them successful against the Chiefs. Did they show you anything that you think the Broncos are able to maybe emulate when playing Kansas City?
Well, yeah, have a good quarterback. That helps.
That'd be great.
Certainly helps. But be a balanced football team. Run the football, wear them out, control the clock, stay on the football field, and spread the football around. So, and that's what they do a good job of. They did a good job of establishing the run, make them respect the run. Early in the football game, obviously the first half, you saw what happened there with them just controlling the game, staying on the football field. And then it sets up all your play action game in the second half. And so it wears that defense out. But, and there's not one person that you can say, take that guy away from the Patriots. And you know, make somebody else beat you. They don't care. You take away Gronk, all right, we'll go to Edelman, Hogan, and Dorsett, or whoever else. Take away Edelman, we'll go to Gronk. I mean, so it's hard to stop them because pick your poison. They spread the football around, and they're good at running the football and establishing the run. So they're a well-balanced football team. And if you do want to go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, that's what you have to do. You have to be a balanced football team.
And the Patriots too. It's almost like sometimes they anticipate you're going to take something away, so they're ready for all the things. What about the ability? And it's where the Broncos suffered. And I don't think they really limited Mahomes' opportunities yesterday. And one of the underrated things I think to limiting opportunities and draining clock is converting third down, which is where the Broncos have been absolutely horrible. I think that's where they could use the younger guys like Deshaun Hamilton.
Yeah.
To maybe get better over the middle with the slot guys, with the Stokelys.
Yeah, I mean, you got to convert third downs. You know, you got to stay on the football field, and most of the time that goes back to your quarterback. You know, your quarterback making plays, making good throws in tight windows, and that guys aren't going to be 10 yards open, and, you know, converting those third and tens, third and fives, and making plays, and that's what good quarterbacks do for you. That's why, you know, they're at such a premium. That's why you see them getting paid what they're getting paid, because they are valuable. They're worth it. And obviously you saw that yesterday with Tom Brady, staying on the football field, converting third downs, making big throws in big-time situations. And he was able to do that yesterday. And ultimately, that's why they won that game.
I think they were like 13-19 on third down. It was something.
The ones in overtime stand out, right?
Yes. Yeah. Was it three?
Third and tens.
Three third and tens, yep, in overtime, effortlessly.
Right.
Just it's in.
And a lot of it was bad ball by the Chiefs, but good teams, they make you pay for it.
Yes.
They make you pay for it. Bad calls defensively, I felt, from the defensive coordinator there. I thought they should have played more soft zone. And you did see the defense they should have played was a defense that they had Gronk. They made Brady check it down to Gronk, and they intercepted it on the pass interference call. That's where they should have played more in overtime. Just a soft zone coverage. Keep everything in front of you. Brady had nowhere to go to the football. What did he do? He had to check it down to Gronk and, you know, hit off his hands and was picked. But they had the interception. I mean, they had the penalty on that play. So I thought they should have played more of that. And I think that was just more of a soft cover too.
So they can. So if you're watching the Broncos, yeah, they're not going to adjust. Kansas City,
they're not, and they
keep that coach around.
They played the two man too much in the regular season. They played that, so the Patriots had a bead on it. They knew what they were going to play, and they played two man, and they got burnt.
And I may be wrong with this, but I think I read somewhere today the Chiefs did blow like 4 fourth-quarter leads, like counting yesterday. So it's stick with them.
Right.
And you can get them. You can maybe get them in the end because maybe they're not adjusting. Defensively, they seemed to really frustrate Pat Mahomes yesterday.
They did a good job taking away some of his major weapons. You look at Kelce and Tyreek Hill weren't a huge part of that game. So defensively, they did a good job. And they did a good job of getting after Mahomes a little bit, making him uncomfortable, especially early. And he had that big third and two on the way out of the second half, their first drive that he threw down to Sammy Watkins and scored to Kelce on the next play. And that kind of got them going. Mm-hmm. But until then, they had him on the wraps. they had him under wraps, and they did a good job of getting after him, frustrating, and doing a good job down the football field, covering his main weapons up and making him hold the football.
And it's John Davis filling in for Zach Bye today. We're talking about what the Broncos can do, take away from the Patriots yesterday. And it looked like with Mahomes, what they did was, I think, to limit Kelce and Tyreek Hill, they just limited the ability for those plays to develop. And they were making Mahomes, and they were, me and you joked during the break, they made him at times look like Trevor Siemian running backwards. They didn't let him step up and do those plays with his feet, which is where he's most dangerous.
That's right. You know, young quarterbacks, sometimes they just get impatient in the pocket, even if it's there, and they want to escape the pocket. And you know, we all know Mahomes is really, really good outside the pocket and making plays down the football field. But if you cover guys up and you don't give them room to step up, it makes it tough for a quarterback. And the Patriots are doing a really good job early on in doing that. And then I think, you know, sometimes the moment in the game is big, right? It's the AFC Championship game. You're playing at home. You're the favorite. And it just took them a while to get going offensively. Once they got that roll going in the second half, they were almost unstoppable. But until then, you know, it took them a while to get their traction, get the feel of the game, and figure the Patriots out.
Yeah, they had 31 points in the second half. The Chiefs scored.
Yeah, they were rolling. You know, you just felt like whoever got the ball in that overtime was going to win it.
Yeah, and you
with
got
a touchdown.
Four quarters. The Broncos played the Chiefs at home, great for three quarters.
Right,
but you got to get them for four quarters.
That's what you got to do against good football teams, man. You can't play, you know, 50 minutes. You got to play 60 minutes.
You got to play 60 minutes, and the Broncos seem to rarely do that this year. We'll have coverage from Radio Row in Atlanta all next week, thanks to Twin Peaks. Next, Cecil will join us, and Stokely stoked up.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
I can't believe the refs didn't throw the flag for pass interference in the Saints-Rams game. I get it. Look, refs are going to miss calls, and I actually think they've done a really good job in the playoffs in letting guys play. But man, oh man, that was as blatant and obvious as it gets when it comes to PI. And if it's called like it should have, the Saints win that game and are going to the Super Bowl. Now the Saints, look, they had plenty of other opportunities, I get it, to close that game out. They were up 13-0. They were up 20-10. But it doesn't change the fact that the refs missed an obvious call that cost the Saints a Super Bowl trip. And that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely's stoked up.
That's what I'm talking about.
Poor Saints.
Poor Saints. Poor Saints. Well, you're from down there too, so you know the people. And
yeah.
It's poor Saints, though.
Poor Saints. Well, you got to also remember what happened last year to them. We haven't even talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
We forgot what happened last year in the Vikings game. Right, they had that game won and locked up. They were going to be going to the NFC Championship game, and then the play happened. The Minnesota Miracle, right? Case Keenum to Stephon Diggs. And then this year, this happens. Like, in the next, I think this is even worse.
You think it's, is this the bigger heartbreaker?
Yeah. Because last year, it was, you know, the second round of the playoffs. And they missed the trip to go to the NFC Championship game, I think is what was on the line.
They probably would have lost to Philly, too.
Yeah, probably so, but you know, and this year, it cost them a trip to the Super Bowl.
And you can pin it.
And we keep watching this, and every time I watch it, I'm just blown away that, like, wow, that was not called.
How does it? It looks worse every, like,
yes,
every
it does.
Time it happens, like, I want to be like, they're going to call it this time.
Right.
This time, the ref's going to get it right.
Every time that I see it, I say, I don't know how they didn't call it. And it just baffles me more and more every time I watch the play. Because they have a great angle, you know, right behind the play, like really close up. And you can just see how, from the ground level, how obvious it was. Now, when I was watching it on TV and you're looking from up above, you really couldn't tell. I was like, ooh, that looked like pass interference. And they didn't call it okay.
Yeah.
And so you really couldn't tell because you were so high up. And then once they showed the replay, it was like, oh, my goodness. They didn't call that. That was more obvious than I thought it was.
It wasn't even. I was the same way. I actually thought it was clean.
Yeah.
When I watched it in fast motion.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, that, okay, no call. All right. And when you see it closer up and you see it like from the ground level, it's like, wow, that ball was still behind the Saints receiver and he just gets his clock cleaned.
And he, from once we got the other angle, you could see he was never watching the ball or Drew Brees.
Oh, no. Panic mode.
Yeah.
And I think it came out that he was in a bad position. He lost track of his man, and so he's just playing catch up. You know, he was chasing him down and just trying to arrive at the same time of the ball. You don't have time to turn around and look for the ball. He doesn't know where it is. He's trying to close the gap between him and the wide receiver.
Just break up the play.
And that's what he was trying to do. And they didn't call it. But that's, you know, that's what happens when you leave it in the ref's hands. You'll get screwed.
They could have even called targeting. I think there's a couple different penalties
they could have called targeting. I think the first one that they should have called was pass interference, and I guess if they wanted to call targeting, they could have, because he did hit him in the head.
Yeah, call offsides. Just call something.
Something should have been called
on that play. But you make a point, and you know, we see after that, we see Drew Brees' rare interception. There was a mistake. It was a great play by Fowler getting in his face on that. But you've been out there on the field. You've been part of games with back-breaking plays. It's got to be hard for New Orleans. You get so hot over that missed call.
Yeah.
To then have to regroup and go to overtime.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It is hard because you feel like you get screwed, and you felt like you had the game won, and it was a call that should have been made, and now you got to regroup and refocus for overtime. And they had an opportunity. They got the football. I believe they did make one first down, and Drew Brees, I just felt like he panicked because they were second and long and nothing was there. Rush was there. And I think he tried to make a play, obviously, that he probably just should have taken a sack, and it ends up getting his arm hit and it floats in the air. So it was tough, though. It's tough, though, when you feel like you've had the game won. You're up 13-0, you're up 20-10. You had multiple chances to put it away, and then that call, you don't get that call. And then on top of that, you got to regroup and try to win in overtime. So, yes, that is hard to get back going in overtime.
With Brees and with everybody, too, the Rams, the swagger of the Rams defense after that play, they had this thing about them, like, these guys can't score on us.
You got second life. You know, you feel like, okay, everything that you got right now is – line you up, because, man, we were out of this game. We were 13-0. We faked a punt, got momentum going. We were down 20-10. We should have had a pass interference called against us. They missed it. Okay, well, we're free rolling.
It's our time.
House money. That's what they were playing with, house money. And they certainly did a good job in overtime, though. You got to give them credit for making a play there. Nice interception by that guy also. Those defenders aren't able to, you know, backpedal and catch the ball as they're falling down. So give that guy a lot of credit. I don't know who intercepted.
It wasn't Peters or Aqib. I know that.
But yeah, it was a big play by him. Yeah, being able to track the ball and find it in the air and make that play.
To take advantage, I remember in 08, Jay Cutler fumbled and the refs like called it an incomplete pass.
Yeah, it was against the Chargers.
It was against the Chargers week two. You were not here. Or were you here?
I was here.
It was Eddie Royal's rookie year. Yeah. You were. It was 08. You would have been here. But Shanahan talking about house money, you guys went for two.
Yep.
And that's kind of what I saw, that the Rams had that energy to them, like, yo, let's go win this. Ed Hockley. What did you guys think about that whole situation?
Like, oh, thank you. Yeah. You know, you're just like, all right, that's awesome. Appreciate that. Wow, missed one there. We'll take it, though.
No apologies.
You don't complain about it. Yeah. Like, hey, finally one goes right for us. You know, we got one. That was nice.
I like to be good, but I also like to be lucky.
That was an unbelievably egregious call that day, too. And to this day, Chargers fans, they bring it up.
Sure.
They still will bring up the Ed Hockley
play. I mean, the Saints fans, well, you know, this one will trump last year's loss for sure, because it was a trip to the Super Bowl on the line, and you're playing at home. You know, last year you were on the road, and this was your year. Yeah, I mean, this was their year.
Home field
throughout the playoffs. You've had a great regular season. You have a dynamic backfield. Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, your defense is playing better, and you're at the Dome. So this was the year to go, and it was right there. And then it wasn't.
It was taken.
Yep.
It was taken from you. We were reading something during the break. Interesting. The NFL is still yet to come out and comment on this.
Right.
Like it's going to go away or something like that.
I don't get it. Yeah, that's I really don't. I don't know. Just like you said in the break, I mean, you're just best just to just say it, admit it, and move on from it. Right. Hey, we missed the call. The refs missed the call. Everybody knows they did. There is no backtracking from it. There is no saying they got it right. They missed the call. We're going to downgrade them. Whatever you have to say, right? I'm sure they'll cover their backs and say they're going to be punished. And look, you move on. It is what it is. But no, don't run from it. Don't hide from it. It's not going anywhere.
No, you owe it to the fans. You owe it to the fans of the NFL to just come out and say, hey, you know, there's like, I think we talked about too, we missed calls. There were other missed calls in that game.
Right.
and don't just pin it on one thing. And you don't come right out and say it, but you can get around the whole that decided the game thing.
Yeah, exactly. But you need to admit when you're wrong, especially in that situation, because it was so obvious that it was pass interference. There's no other way around it. So come out and admit it, and you're able to move on from it a lot quicker.
Do we need more officials at the games? Is that what's going on? I don't know how they missed that, but... full-time officials, right. Even?
Yeah, I mean, the NFL, I think after this call, that might be the one that changes it. Because you do have a handful of full-time officials, right? And I think that might be the game changer. When you look at certain things, why rules are changed and why things are changed throughout the course of the NFL, and, you know, the Dez Bryant, you know, catch or no catch, and that got the ball rolling on where we are today with the catch rule. So, and the Jesse James one against
the Jesse James
they
one.
They changed that rule mid-season last year.
That's right.
You know, mid-season, because if that play doesn't happen, the Zach Ertz catch in the touchdown in the Super Bowl against the Patriots isn't a catch.
That's right.
So they kind of changed that rule a little bit during the season because of the Jesse James catch against the Patriots. And I think this play, that play right there, when you're in the NFL and you don't have full-time refs, it makes you look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because, hey, would full-time refs have gotten that right? A guy that's his only job is to referee football games. You're a billion-dollar company, right, the NFL is. And you can't have full-time refs?
Spend the whole offseason reviewing and everything.
You're still going to miss calls. But at least it gives you the luxury to sit back and say, well, we're doing the best we can. They're not right now. They're not when it comes to officiating, because full-time refs will be better than part-time refs. That's their only job, right?
Yes.
It's a referee game. So they obviously will be better than part-time guys. So, you know, make it happen. And I think that might be the game changer there that makes it happen to where now it's going to be, look, we're everybody that is reffing games, you're full-time.
You're full. It's John Davis filling in with Zach. But I think you make a good point. It takes a big moment. Dez Bryant. The one I think of is the replacement refs, the Monday night game, Seattle, Green Bay.
Right.
World is watching.
Right. What happened then?
The refs were back the next week.
Okay, we got to figure this out.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. And just like that play right there, it's embarrassing to the league to have a game at that magnitude and come down to that play and you blow it.
And do you think it's more likely we get full-time refs or we see penalties be challenged?
Full-time refs.
I think
the penalties being challenged, like, now what do? Do you get 5 challenges? Can you challenge any penalty or just certain penalties? I just think it prolongs the game so much more, and it leaves open a Pandora's box to where, because I can look at almost every play and I can see how if you called pass interference, okay, I don't think it should have been called, but I can justify it because that DB touched the wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And they can say, oh, look at him, he touched him a little bit right there. We slow it down, see how his arm touched that guy and kind of held him up a little bit. Well, that's why he threw the flag.
By the book.
By the letters, by what the words say. That could go down as pass interference. So it's part of the game, missing calls. And it just stinks to be on the other side. You hope you're on the right side of it. That's just the way it is. And I think, like I said, I think the reffing in the playoffs have been so much better. You haven't seen these bad, like, pass interference calls that are, or helmet-to-helmet calls or defenseless player calls that you're just like, oh, my gosh. So it's been a lot better. Hasn't been perfect, but it's been a lot better than the regular season.
Nothing stood out until yesterday.
Right.
If you're not talking about them, it's like Garrett Bowles. If you're not talking about them, it's going really good. And I think when people want to say we need to challenge everything, I think even if you could challenge penalties, you would not be able to challenge that because it's a no call.
Where are we at? Can you challenge a no call?
Yeah, can you challenge a no call?
Where are we going here? Can you challenge a no call and say, hey, I think that was pass interference?
Because if we do that...
Right. So, you know, where do you stop it? Do you stop it? Do you just say, okay, you can only challenge plays that were a flag was thrown? Or can you challenge any play and say, well, a flag should have been thrown there? That's what I'm talking about. It's a slippery slope.
It is.
And if you go down that road, I just think it leaves too many other things and it prolongs the game for so much longer. And
That's already
it's
a problem.
It's a makeup. It's part of the game, right? I mean, it's just part of the game. You're going to have calls that go against you. You're going to have calls that go for you.
And yeah, and it's better to just make the officials better than make the coach's job
right.
to double-check the officials. It's just going to be a better thing to say, you know what, forget the challenging.
Especially in our situation last year. We wouldn't want more challenges.
Yeah, we would. We need, yeah, in Denver, the last thing we need to do is more options to be
right
to be challenging
yes.
the ball. So hopefully, what about this? Given there's only one game left, so I don't think it's going to spill over. But hopefully we don't see trigger-happy refs in the Super Bowl with pass right. interference. Like,
no, that's a good point. Flag. Like, it's a really good point. You know, now do they look at that game and overreact to it? And say, okay, well, we don't want that to happen, so let's err on throwing more flags. And if it's even close, we're going to throw a flag. I hope they don't, you know, go there. I hope they continue to do what they're doing, and because it's been a good playoffs.
Yeah, it's referees don't mess up the Super Bowl for everybody. Stoke, we got Cecil Lammy now joining us from the Senior Bowl. Cecil, what's up? You there, buddy?
I'm like a pig in slop. You kidding me, man? This is the place to be. I'm staying at Stoke's favorite spot, the La Quinta in man. Mobile. I'm ready to go.
Wow. Make sure you shower four times a day. How's that barbecue, humidity, Cecil?
Barbecue's great, man. Just had some sausage for lunch. Just got my media credentials. Already, you know, yucking it up with some scouts who are here. Excited to talk to Drew Lock coming up in about 2 hours Mountain Time. I will be at the press conference with Drew Lock. I'll toss him some questions. I'm going to try to Facebook Live that on our 104.3 The Fan account.
Nice.
But yeah, man, it's all here. It's all ready to go. And we may be looking at the Broncos' next starting quarterback in Drew Lock.
Have you seen a practice yet, Cecil?
No, practices start tomorrow. We've got the weigh-in tomorrow morning fairly early. And then just like right after Pritchard and Cecil, Mountain Time is when the practices start, about a half hour after that. So both practices. This will be after that, media night after that, a big Tuesday followed up by, you know, this kind of a sedate Monday. But you can tell everybody's getting in town. Everybody's getting excited about this draft class and excited about these players that are, you know, are available to all these teams. But certainly got Broncos on the mind and got Drew Lock on the mind. Does he actually stand out the way that Baker Mayfield did last year? That's what we're fixing to find out.
What are you going to ask Drew Lock, Cecil?
I'm going to ask him if he is ready or if he believes he's the best quarterback in his draft class. I want to find out a few things because the physical skill set is easy, okay? We all know he's got the big arm, right? And scouts last week at the Shrine game told me that he's like Jay Cutler in terms of physical skill set, just that amazing arm strength to any platform, you know, doesn't need his feet set. He can just flick it there and get the ball there. But it's the personality. Is he the ultimate alpha? So I want to know how much will he brag about himself? And people may say, oh, well, that, you know, guy's cocky or whatever. I remember when Cam Newton came out and I was at Cam Newton's combine and he was amazing. And Cam Newton, you know, people took issue with how he was so confident. I'm like, I don't want a quarterback to be Mark Sanchez. I don't want him to be Stuart Smalley. You know, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. No, I want that guy who's a little cocky that can be like Baker Mayfield was last year. Like, I'm the best quarterback in this draft. So for me, it's finding out, is he the ultimate alpha? Is he self-motivated? Does he have high football IQ? From what I know and what I've been told by NFL scouts is that he's kind of a football junkie. I love the thought of that. I want to find out for myself, and I'm going to talk to Drew Lock a couple of times, maybe three times during this week, after practice, at media night, and tonight at his press conference.
Cecil, besides Drew Lock, who's the other quarterback that you're looking forward to seeing, and what position player besides quarterback are you looking to go out there and evaluate and see in practice?
Right, and for me, well, Daniel Jones is here. You know, right. We can't overlook that. Yes, the Duke kid, and we all saw the bowl game against Temple when he had the 5 touchdowns, but he also missed some wide-open guys. Probably should have had 8 touchdowns in that game. But, you know, so he's here. Is he worthy of that first-round selection? Because right now he's kind of borderline, although I've heard a lot of teams like him. Will Greer is – I like him for what he is the best way to put it. Will Greer, the quarterback from West Virginia, he is a guy who is – Andy Dalton, basically, if you block it well and if he's got enough space within the pocket, he can make all the throws. But he's got a weak arm and he can't really do stuff off platform. But he can run that air raid system, which we all hear, you know, John Elway's kind of over the moon about, if you will. And then I look to the tight end position because this team needs to be considering tight ends. The best tight end that's here might be Josh Oliver, the kid from San Jose State, 6'5", 250 pounds. There are others and some small school prospects, but it's really Oliver who I'll be watching for to see, it, could he be part of that answer? We're left to wonder what things are going to look like with Scangarello running this Broncos offense. We know one thing, you know, however he is as a play caller, we know that the tight end position should be one they lean on heavily. So, you know, watching small school prospects, watching tight ends, and obviously trying to get to the bottom of this Drew Lock mystery. Is he the right guy for the Broncos?
Cecil, is there too much buzz around Denver and Drew Lock? Could this be hurting the Broncos' chances of landing him if they do like him?
Well, I'll tell you this. Other teams are now perhaps responding or considering to respond. From what I picked up last week at the Shrine game, Washington is considering all options at quarterback, which does include moving up into the top 10 and leapfrogging Denver. What I was told is that they're so worried about Denver taking their guy, they might just leapfrog him. So if you're the Broncos and this Drew Lock thing, it's out there for a reason, which I always, you know, get the tinfoil hat on and like, why does everybody knows this? Worst kept secret ever. So why is that? Is that because it's not really a secret? Are they trying to get some, you know, Ed Oliver to fall to him, Greedy Williams to fall to him, other positions, which I think they should take. Honestly, unless Drew Lock blows me away this week, right, and through the combine process and pre-draft, like he makes it clear he should be the guy. I don't want a quarterback at 10. This team has too many holes, defensive tackle, linebacker position, cornerback position, and all those three defensive positions are readily available in this draft. It's not the year to take a QB. So, you know, is that information out there because these teams are going to scramble and then the Broncos will get talent that just gets pushed back to 10? That's something I'm wondering because it's very unusual. This is the time we hear the best information. In April, everything's lies, so don't believe anything after April 1. But at this time of year, we hear a lot of good information, and it's this type of information that makes you wonder, okay, why is it out there right now? Why do we already know the Broncos love Drew Lock? And it makes you wonder a little bit.
Cecil, you know, you said you'd prefer not to take a quarterback in this year's draft. Where do you think the Broncos lean on this year in the draft? Do you think they're more offensive side of the football? Or, look, let's find some of these defensive players to start replenishing our defense and get a little bit younger defensively.
Yeah, and I think that's what they need to do, right, Stoke? And because we look at the defensive side of the ball for the Broncos, and we know the cupboard's getting pretty bare. So you have Vic Fangio, okay, awesome, Ed Donatell, cool. But how do you keep this defense, you know, playing good football and then make him elite? You know, take that next step. To me, that's going to the defensive side of the ball in this draft, which is already there. Defensive tackle, linebacker, secondary, it's all there for this team. Outside of your edge guys and Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, and outside of Chris Harris and Justin Simmons, you know, okay, Todd Davis, sure. Josie Jewell, okay, but there's upgrades there at inside linebacker if you want. Tomata Pecco, a free agent, an unrestricted free agent, by the way. Do you want to bring him back? He's 100 years old. Like, okay, I don't know if they are going Ed Oliver in the first round, something like that. Derek Wolfe, a big number and not a lot of dead money. So is Derek Wolfe going to be one of those cap casualties? I hope not. But in case, you could look for a defensive end there. So the defensive side of the ball, which this team is going to be known for, I mean, especially with their hands tied at quarterback and, you know, depending on what they do at QB, but you're going to have a defensive identity. Well, you can't do that with the core that's leaving. Your Bradley Roby's leaving. Darian Stewart's, you know, maybe retiring. Like, you have all of these holes that are going to pop up on defense that you didn't have last year. Recognizing that, I think this needs to be a defensive draft. And it's almost custom made if the Broncos, I know D-Mac says auto draft, makes me mad when he says it, but if they do that, it could work out great for them based on how this draft is setting up.
Cecil, look forward to hearing everything you've got to say. Check him out on Twitter and everything because there's going to be updates all week. Thanks a lot, Cecil.
Be good, fellas.
Good stuff. It's always good to have somebody at the Senior Bowl.
It's always
we had
good.
A blast last year, and it was so much fun getting to watch those guys and watch them practice and compete and then, you know, talk to people down there and then see where those guys ended up. And so it's really a who's who of the NFL this week down in Mobile, Alabama. It's really a fun event.
So, yeah, I heard that's kind of the best-kept secret. That's where everything happens. Nobody realizes it.
Yeah, it's a small town, and, you know, you run into everybody, and you got access to everybody. So it's really, really a great event that they put on. They do a good job of it, and you got the best college players going there, and so you get to evaluate everybody right then and there. So Cecil's going to have some good stuff coming out this week.
It's going to be great. Stoke, today's my brother's birthday, Dan. Oh. Happy birthday to my brother.
Happy birthday, Dan. How old?
44.
Wow.
44, yeah. He's
That's
9 years
awesome.
Older than me. So pretty cool stuff. And Stokes,
That's great.
I had a blast with you today. Thank you so much, my man.
John, look, you're doing a great job, man. It's been fun to watch you from the start to where you are now. Keep working hard. Keep grinding. And happy birthday to Dan.
Dan, yeah. Happy birthday to him.
Happy
Thank
birthday.
You for saying that.
Here we go.
The drive is next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.